Hey, this is Terry, and you're listening to episode 287.
Here we go! Welcome to TerryWilson3.com, the show committed to helping you grow, protect, and enjoy your money, business, and life.
Wanted to get with you. This is really something that seems to be scratching a lot of itches, and it looks like it's pretty lucrative.
Well, it's one of the best business decisions that I've made, you know, becoming a rep.
My intent now is being in that call center is letting people know this is the real deal. You will make money, and you don't have to have a product to promote. Just get in that call center and take calls, read a script. You will make money.
I started my own personal business 10 days ago. On Friday, I have my first two sales come through, and I have more pending. You do the activity, you take the time, you talk to the people.
You will make money.
I am in love with it. I don't know any other way to put it.
I really appreciate all the value you give. It's a lot, man. I look up to you a lot. You're kind of a leader in an industry where there's lots of BS.
And by the way, I love your swag.
This is the Terry Wilson. Really, I'm excited, Terry. I want to get started here.
That's right, guys. Today is the day. If you want to take your money, your business, your life to the next level, why not today? Why not start right now? Why not make that dream a reality? You know, it doesn't have to be pie in the sky. It doesn't have to be philosophical. It can be an actual way of life to be the man rather than work for the man. And that's what we offer you, and we try to equip you and motivate you, inspire you, and give you ways that you can take your money, your business, and your life to the next level by using certain tools, training, and technology. And today I've got a special program. Have you ever felt ill-equipped? Have you ever felt like, man, I wished I had his education, or I wished I had his talent, or I wished I was as smart as so-and-so? I want to give you a little inside baseball here. When I grew up in a time where I would come home after school and I would watch reruns of Perry Mason, and Matlock was new on TV at the time. And so I would sit down and watch this with my grandparents. And my mother worked in the court system as the deputy criminal clerk of court in our county. And at an early age, I fell in love with the legal system, the law. The idea of getting up and arguing a point of view, arguing a case, regardless of the side, you know, I literally looked at it very unpassionately as far as, you know, this or that. I wasn't one of those that's, you know, had to necessarily agree with the argument to enjoy the fact of making an argument. I just love courtroom drama. Captured me at a very young age. As a matter of fact, when I got in junior high and high school, when I wasn't playing sports or in the band, I would have the bus drop me off in the middle of town at our county seat where the courthouse was. And I would go in and sit in the very back of the courtroom and for a couple hours just watch court cases and watch my mom work, of course, but you know, just listen to the cases and watch, you know, and 99.9% of the time it was boring traffic cases and domestic cases and goofy stuff like that. But every once in a while you got to see some drama, you got to see an argument, you got to see, and when I say argument, I'm not talking about, you know, fussing and fighting. I'm talking about making a persuasive, passionate set of, you know, points to try to persuade either a judge or a jury. And that whole idea just has always been very attractive to me. And all through high school, I loved it. And then I got into junior high and high school. And as I got older and trying to make a career decision, I literally talked myself out of pursuing it. And I'll tell you why. I just felt like, for whatever reason, I'm just not smart enough. Man, I would love to do it. The idea of getting up and talking to people, persuading people, making a case for something you believe in. Man, that was so attractive to me. And I wanted to do that through the means of the legal profession, becoming an attorney. And I know that attorneys in some corners of the world are thought of as the lowest form of life. But, you know, every profession has its problems and its bad actors and its downfalls, you know. And I've always, some of my best friends are lawyers and attorneys. And I've got family that are attorneys and love them to death. And I love what they do. I love what they you know, bring to the table in our society. I'm not one of those that just, you know, beat up on lawyers, but I don't beat up on car salesmen or preachers or anything else. I think, you know, there's good and bad actors in every industry. But the point I'm trying to make is I talked myself out of something I really, really wanted to do. And I talked myself out of it because I just felt like, just not smart enough, just not talented enough, not educated enough, don't have the means to pursue anything like that. And in some ways, for a long time, up until about 15 years ago, I regretted it. I really did. I mean, I just sort of like, man, why did I do that? And I make a running joke because one of my best friends, or not a best friend, but a really good friend, an acquaintance, I tease him all the time. I says, you know, had I known that you could have been a lawyer, then I could have been a lawyer. Because if they give you a law license, surely, you know, and I give, you know, we tease and joke. But are you talking, the point is, are you talking yourself out of doing something great, going and pursuing something that you really want to do simply because you feel like you're not talented enough, you're not smart enough, you don't have the education? Well, I want to give you something today that trumps all of that. And I wished I had known this then. As a matter of fact, I want to play you someone reading a speech that was written, a quote that was written by Calvin Coolidge. And this is someone that's going to, and matter of fact, this showed up in The Founder, the movie about Ray Kroc. And matter of fact, he takes this and repurposes this speech for himself later on, at the end of the movie, when he's making a speech for then Governor Reagan of California. And it has something in it that I want to hone in and I want you to grab a hold of today. So listen to this real quick.
Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, "Press on," has solved and will always solve the problems of the human race. Calvin Coolidge.
Persistence. Persistence trumps all of that. No matter if you don't feel like you're the smartest person in the room, the sharpest tool in the drawer, whatever metaphor you want to use. He says nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not, because nothing is more common than unsuccessful people with lots of talent. Have you ever met someone out maybe serving tables or doing this or doing that, and they have immense talent? I always tell people, you know, if you want to see something that's just shameful, go to New Orleans, go to Austin, Texas, go to Nashville, Tennessee, go to these places, go to Chicago, Illinois. You are going to find some of the most talented musicians in the world. I'm talking people that will run circles around what is an excuse for music we hear on the TV and popular radio today. But they're not making it. These are people that you've never heard of before. And I will argue it's not because of their talent. It's because of being persistent, of getting in front of the right people. Are you telling me that some of the people that we hear on the radio and see winning these awards that can't find middle C on a keyboard or piano are more talented than some of these incredible jazz musicians and artists that you'll see in New Orleans or Austin or Nashville or Chicago or New York or Los Angeles? I don't think so. Talent will only take you so far. But if you don't have the persistence to push through, you will not make it. So if you're out there today and you're thinking, well, I don't have the talent, it's not talent, my friend. If you're thinking, I'm not genius, I just don't have, I'm not as creative. You know, Terry, you guys online and these people over here and these people over here, man, you guys have just got such ingenious ideas to be able to invent these products or invent these business models or this or that. Listen, I worked other people's systems for years before, you know, a rock hit me in the head and I figured out how to create my own niche. I worked other people's programs, other people's systems, sold other products, sold other people's things for years until one day, you know, I had this epiphany. It doesn't take genius. It just takes persistence. I was persistent in selling what was in front of me. And you're talking and you're listening to someone who dropped out of college. You know, I went to college for a little bit and then dropped out. So education, if you're looking for a highly educated person, I don't have a doctorate, a PhD behind my name. So education won't do it. So I'm telling you, if you want to be successful in your business, if you want to be successful achieving that goal, if you want to be successful, you are going to have to be persistent. There's no way around it. There's no shortcuts. Some of you are going to reach your destination quicker than others. And if you are comparing yourself to what other people are doing, trying to measure where other people are at to where you are at, you are already setting yourself up for failure. Because you only know what you see about other people. If you're saying, hey, Terry, you're making this and you're doing this daily, you don't see the hours and the sleepless nights and years and hours and just pouring over writing code. When I'm not a code writer, I'm not that technical of a person, believe it or not, and had to learn some things that are, go against my natural abilities and just had to just push through. You don't see the hours of, you know, staying up 24, 48, 72 hours sometimes because a particular software piece or server went down or something happened and, you know, it's the buck stops here and you have no clue of how to fix it. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get what you want? I read something on social media today. It was hilarious. It basically read, you cannot deposit an excuse. Don't give yourself excuses. Don't give yourself reasoning and rationale of why you can't. You can. If you are persistent, you can do anything you want to do. And a lot of times, here's the deal. I will tell people, you need to be persistent. You need to follow up. You need to follow up with your clients. You need to persistently follow up. Be a velvet brick, soft to the touch, but firm in where you're wanting to go. Be persistent. And naturally, people will get this sort of deer in the headlight look. Well, how do you be persistent without being pestering? How do you do due diligence in following up, but not run people off? I'm glad you asked. I wrote a little short 14-page ebook guide that you can get that will give you a formula, a step-by-step way that you can persistently follow up, have reasoning, rationale to follow up with people. If you're in the sales space, if you run a business, own a business, starting a business, I will tell you the keys to your success is how you follow up, especially if you are selling anything that's over $100 or more. You can sell these little $5, $10, $15, $20 items all day long online and, you know, in stores and whatever your business model is without ever having to really do a lot because that's throwaway money. But when you get to $100 and above, especially online where they haven't been able to see you, look at you, make sure that you're legit, but they're just trusting what they see online. The only way that you're going to be able, for whatever reason, I don't consider a $100 item a high ticket item personally, but most internet marketers have all agreed that, you know, $100 and up is considered in today's world a high ticket item online. And if you're selling something outside of a forum like eBay or Amazon, and you're selling it directly through your site, which a lot of my clients are, then you have to establish a strong branding, you have to establish rapport and authority, and you have to be persistent in following up with your client. Well, how do you do that? We give you a guide here. It's $5.95. You can go to TerryWilson3.com /store. And I think it's on the second or third page. And it's The Art of the Follow-Up. And as a matter of fact, I'll put a link to that ebook in this guide. But it will break down how you can follow up with your clients in a way, in a means that's not harassing, that gives value every time that you are following up with them, but you're constantly putting your name, refocusing the conversation, bringing them back to your call to action, which is do business with me, buy my product here, engage this service here, let's do something, come on, you know, and doing it in a way that doesn't seem like you're desperate, which is a huge thing that newbies have a problem with a lot of times when you're first new to sales. If you've never had any formal sales training or, you know, done a lot of direct sales before, certain personality types have a hard time of understanding. You know, there's two things that that people perceive: context and content. And 90% of the people, even if they're high sensory learners, everyone, and it goes back to that, Myers-Angelou quote, and I'm mispronouncing her name, I know, and I can't think of it, but she basically said, Maya Angelou, thank you, looking at me, stranger, which she said that people will often and quickly forget what you said, but they will always and often remember how you make them feel. And so when you're talking to people through email marketing, through text marketing, through social media marketing, through whatever form of engagement you are using, you have to put it in a context that's soft to the touch, that's that velvet, but firm. So you want to give value. You want to give them new information. You want to intrigue them. You want to compel them. You want to give them something that sort of, if I can use a word, teases them to move forward, to ask more questions, to re-engage a conversation. Those are things that you have to do. You have to be able to develop. And sometimes, you know, when I tell people you need to be persistent, follow up with your clients, follow up, what they hear is, okay, hey, I talked to you yesterday. Did you decide anything? Hey, we spoke 2 days ago. Did you decide anything? Hey, 3 days ago we spoke and we talked about this. Are you ready to go? Hey, that's not following up. Okay. That is being harassing. That is a formula for irritation, frustration in a client saying bye-bye. And the only way you keep a strong email list, a strong contact list, a strong list of people that you can market to is not to push them away through a wrong method of being persistent in following up. So when you follow up, there has to be a strategy where every single time you go to them, you've got new information in hand, you've got a new reason to follow up, you've got a compelling reason they might want to talk, and you've got some sort of, you've put it in some sort of constructive timeline that doesn't seem pushy, but at the same time gives them a compelling reason to respond quicker than later. And all of those things we sort of break out in a formula for you if you want to get that. It's a great little ebook. It's a great little resource that I sell both inside my business and outside my business. It's only $5.95, and I promise you it will pay for itself if you implement and execute on what I show you and those strategies in there. Because you know, you've heard many marketers, myself, I've done several podcasts, several different webinars on, you know, the loots in the list, email marketing and all that. But once you have developed an opted in list, and once this is not cold emailing, by the way, I'm taking this from the perspective that you already have someone that has said, yeah, you know, follow up with me, or yes, I want more information about this. And you've got your list. And that's what we show our reps at TW3. They never have to cold call. People call them, they engage them, and then they're on their list and they're just following up to close. And if you target the right people, of course, your conversion rates go up as you target better. But this is not a strategy that you're going to use to a cold email list. You cannot follow up with someone who has never opted in and gave permission. Okay, so if you try to use the strategies that I give in this ebook and you try to use it in a manner to cold email, you're wasting your time. Okay, if you want the cold email, if you want to engage a list of people that have not necessarily opted in, but you want to get a filtered, demographically scrubbed list of people that you can target and then drive them to a landing page or drive them to an extension in your call center or your telephone number, your business number or whatever, and then you capture their information and you get in, you know, permission to then follow up, then if you're wanting to do that in basically a cold engagement, you need to go over to TerryWilson3.com/MDEMS. That's TerryWilson3.com/MDEMS. That's for $1 million email marketing system. That right there will show you how to engage a cold list and get them coming. And those are strategies and those are tools and those are ways that you can then drive people over to capture their information and then follow up. Okay. But the follow up, I'm telling you, being persistent is going to achieve your goals. I'll tell you a dirty little secret about my business, and I'll tell you a dirty little secret about every marketing agency, insurance agency, real estate agency, any agency that I know of. Okay? You know, don't tell anybody else I'm telling you this, right? But about 30% of our business, my personal business, is by orphaned leads, orphaned clients. Here's what happens. And this happened when I was in the insurance business. It's happening with my real estate clients. It's happening in this business. Someone comes on, they hit it really heavy the first 30, 60 days, and they get some success. Maybe they're having some hurdles. Maybe there's a skill set that needs to be developed. Maybe there's something that they're just not hitting their full stride yet. Somehow, some way, somewhere, expectations have yet to be met. Let's just put it that way. And rather than pushing through and being quote unquote persistent and finding out why is this not working and developing the skill set, developing, you know, whatever needs to be developed in the business to make sure, you know, we are hitting our metrics, we're hitting and fulfilling and gaining and meeting our expectations instead of doing that. Because sometimes it is frustrating. Sometimes it is aggravating. Human nature. Nah, forget it, and walk away. Well, all of those people, all of those leads, all of that interest that was developed is still out there. And what happens? They go to the house. Every insurance agency owner I know, from Western and Southern to all these other, why do they there is a business, now we don't do this, but there is a business model where you recruit new agents and tell them to work their warm market. Why do you tell them to work their warm market? If you ever go to a business, you ever go to a company, you ever get involved with one of these, you know, home-based businesses, what are they always telling you? Hey, look, give me your project 100. Give me your project 200. What is that? Let's go talk to people and the manager go out and try to help you close these deals and get started. But let's go talk to 100 people that you went to high school with, went to college with, you know, in some social club, church with, you know, your neighbors, whatever. Why do they want to do that? See, their whole business model, their whole premise is to work your warm market. And then when you don't pan out, you quit. And where does all that business go and stay? So I'm telling you, these guys that bounce from opportunity to opportunity to opportunity, and all these MLMs and networks and startup businesses and home-based businesses and all this stuff, all they're doing is leaving a trail of leads behind for the people they engage. Don't do that. Do not do that. Persistence will pay off, but you have to be persistent. And then you focus and be persistent. Follow one course until successful and persistently do that. I promise you, if you will do it and do it that way, you will be happy that you did. You will not be leaving a trail of clients behind you for someone else to then just, hey, because it happens every single day in my business. Hey, Terry, the reason I got your name, number, and email address is I was talking to so-and-so 4 months ago, and I'm trying to reach them, and I can't get a hold of them. I've called two or three times, and they tell me they're no longer in the business, and I want to do this. Okay? Hand me your credit card. Boom. See, I'm telling you, when you get into anything you're trying to achieve, take the long view. Be persistent. Execute on good daily activity, and you will see your money, business, and life to the next level. Hey, remember, if you want to go to the next level, you have to grow to the next level. And that's why I want to give you a free copy of my new book, You Are Worth More. Go to TerryWilson3.com/worthmore now.
Thank you for listening to our show today at TerryWilson3.com. If you would like more information on how we can take your money, your business, and your life to the next level, then please visit us online at TerryWilson3.com or call 800-673-1728.
Man, it's a great system here. This is good stuff here. I wish I found this company 10 years ago.